Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Monday, November 19th, 2018. It was exactly 10 days ago when I did the last show, and I can't believe it. While I was doing the show, the electricity went out, and little did I know what was coming. But I learned a lot. I wrote a lot. It took my mind and body, I would say maybe halfway through that week of no internet, on and off electricity, mostly off, not on, and listening to a transistor radio and not being able to get enough because I didn't know how close or far we were the whole time. And the people who need the news actually don't get the news because there's no access to it. And there was a barricade down my block and we couldn't leave. And if we left, we couldn't come back, but we weren't part of a mandatory evacuation, thank God, yet at the time, and never over time contain the fire from getting this close. And it was truly sleeping with your eyes open for a week. And it took me a while to calm down inside. I mean, you're on like high alert. You pack your car, your pictures are in there, your important papers are in there. And you forget to, it's first day, pack clothes, and then it took me till the next day to say, hey, wait a minute, what if I don't come back? I need clothes, and I need this, and I need that, and I filled up the car even some more. And what I did once the barricades were open and we were allowed to come and go, which I think happened by Wednesday or Thursday, we still didn't have electricity on and off, and we still didn't have internet until mid-Friday. But what happened was I took all of those pictures and all of those papers that I put together and put them in storage so that if anything like that ever happens again, which, you know, you never know what the chances are, but now that I know what I know, it's in a safe place. And it's in a place where you realize no matter what you have, that's all that matters. And I saw my thoughts change, and what we believe in ourselves sounds like in our thoughts, because in the beginning, it wasn't fear and doubt and worry and guilt or controlling the situation. It was more just a survival feeling, like, okay, if I survive this, how will I survive it? And what do I want? Because it took me a few days to get to believing that there's a chance, a good chance, that I would not have anything left. And now I know people whose houses burned down completely and there's nothing left but the foundation. And I get it. And I can't even get to how they feel. I can't even imagine the actual loss because I was in the potential part of it all. But in your mind, you have to be able to get to the point of your stronger thoughts, of the thoughts that say, well, what if? Because fear-based thoughts, thinking of everything you could lose, the house, the cars, yourself, whatever it is, but everything is loss, 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 fear, doubt, worry. But the stronger thoughts are, okay, if the house burns down, I'll still be okay. We can rebuild. We can move. We have each other. And that was the other part of it, is we all slept within distance of grabbing each other and running. And I realized in that time, TV, where everybody kind of, you know, I'm in the kitchen cooking with my TV. Someone else is in the living room with their TV. Someone else is in the room watching sports and their TV. And then we intersect at dinner. And you know, whenever we're in the kitchen, really is the time when we intersect. And now all we had was each other in conversation and talking. And you would be shocked what it's like to just hang around with people in your house that you didn't know a lot about them, because the conversations never had a time in the same way. By Saturday night or Sunday night, I can't remember which day because we didn't have electricity, both of them. Those were the full days of no electricity. I found candles and lit the candles and flashlights, and I cooked dinner because we had a gas stove. And I made dinner, and I couldn't get a text, or sometimes I would actually get a text and I couldn't respond. It wouldn't respond. It didn't have enough oomph to send it off. And it was interesting, but I thought, I know, you know, my daughter who wasn't living with us, she's 15 minutes away, was so worried that somehow she found a back road to get Saturday to see us. But when we made the dinner, I thought, here I am baking cookies and making dinner literally in the dark almost. But I feel comforted. And I didn't know why I felt comforted. And I realized it was the way I thought. I thought beyond the loss. The loss wasn't something that scared me. It was nearly inevitable for quite a few days. But at the same time, I thought, well, this would be it. This would be how. And I'm not suffering as much as some, bring a little more than others in my thoughts. But at the end of the day, I was like, if anything happens, it happens. I'm okay. And when I took that worst fear of losing everything, it taught me what everything meant. That while we're alive, while we're here, whatever it is we have, we need because we're here. We keep ourselves busy. We have projects. We have all these things to do. We have thoughts of changing things, fixing things, making things, whatever. But if it's gone, we'll still be those people. It'll just be with something else, somewhere else, some other way. All left my life. At the end of the day, it doesn't change me. Unless I decide it's going to devastate me and it's going to break me. But I realized I could look at it any way I wanted. I was getting texts from people who knew me who were way worse off than I was about me being in this situation. And I said, you know, if I could have gotten back to them, which I still have all the texts in my phones that I thought I was sending, and then they would come back non-deliverable, that I'm in my kitchen baking cookies. I'm okay. I just can't leave. So good on the fire part. And the wind wasn't even blowing the smoke towards us. So I went out and walked. Our street was barricaded, so nobody who didn't live in the area was out. And I had a cool celebrity sighting, and I couldn't remember his name at the time because I got so starstruck, but I was walking down the street and walking by the ocean and taking pictures of the sun and of these birds that didn't even know there was a fire going on. And I was like down by, there was a barricade 1 mile ahead of my house, and then one where there was a mandatory evacuation only 4 blocks from my house. So we were going to be the next mandatory, which I was not, you know, knowing how to deal with at first, but I got enough in me to go for a walk, and I went. And I looked across the street, and I'm like, oh my God, that's that man. That man, he was married to Madonna. He was married to Robin Wright, and I couldn't remember his name for my life, but I knew everyone he was married to, and it was Sean Penn. And at the time, I'm taking pictures of all these things. I just took a picture of him, too. And I thought that was interesting, but, you know, they can't leave any more than I could leave. And it was just such a surreal moment to stand in the middle of a street that's always busy, and there's no cars. And the first day to see cars go down the street and then realize that all 4 lanes were one way so that the emergency equipment can get around the traffic, because there was gridlock of people who were under mandatory evacuations to get out. 5-hour drive just to go down this trip. But you see it. And while I was taping it, and I took pictures and videos of all of this because I had nothing else I could do, I would tape it, and when I'd see the emergency equipment go by, it would just make me cry. But I thought that's how it feels, because our fears are the master of disguises. It comes to us from the outside in, all the noise, all the people, seeing other people scared, and, you know, we share that. I didn't see anybody scared. It was interesting. Everyone was just in a different place. They just knew what they had to do. And I realized that we all know what we have to do. We all know what's the strongest thing we can do. And we act on it. There's no time for fear. So it made me think about fear and how it's when we start to think about things that we get fear. We don't start out with fear. Think of any single time you needed to show up for yourself. And you did. Said, hey, we're way better off than we think we are, and we don't even know it. We know what to do. It's when we start thinking about what we could lose, then fear comes in and says, oh, don't ask that girl on a date, because what if she doesn't go? Then you're going to feel bad, and then you're going to feel like an idiot, and then you're going to feel this, and it just throws all this garbage at you. And in truth, a stronger thought would be 50-50. She might say yes, she might say no. I live no matter what the answer is. Try, because you never know. And if you could look at it that way, you're calm. If you can't look at it that way, you're sweaty palms and worried, and we're even encouraged to be that way, because that's the right way. That's the way that shows you care. Doesn't show anything about caring. It just shows that, hey, you know what? You're really tied into loss. We have to teach kids fear, because we figure they're not going to be able to make it in our world without it. But I realized there's different fears. There's instinctive fear, where, you know, if you're at the edge of a cliff, you're not going to jump down, but that's actually logic. It's not fear. It's the reality that if you jumped off that cliff, you're going to die. It's more of a decision, like, hey, I'm not going to go to the edge of the cliff because if I fall off, I'll die. Nah, I don't really want to die today. Interesting. Once I got back online, there's someone who's been trying to get me to speak in their state, and says that he is Christ. And I read what he sent me once I was able to get mail and all of that, and it was like this influx. And then on my page, wrote that I listen to all your shows, Nadia, and when I listened to the beginning, you were right on, but then you started getting into duality, and that's satanic, and blah, 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 and just threw all this stuff up on me. And I read it, and probably 10 years ago, I would have been like, oh my gosh, I have to do this better, or right, or whatever. And I thought, oh wow, I haven't seen that in a long time. Prove anything to anyone. I saw Christ. I see Christ. I write. He writes through me. But I'm not Christ. Christ is Christ. Christ said, I am not you and you are not me. Instead of having fear thoughts of, oh, what if I'm not believable? And what if this and what if that? I'm not invested in being believable. I know the power of truth. I know that when you speak something and it's true, people will get it. And if it's not, they won't. That's not even in my hands. Overrated. I'm sorry. But when Christ took me back home and I got to see everything, I saw nothing, no evidence of being hurt for what we've done here, other than the pain that we each individually felt for our own actions, of seeing the ramifications of ill will. And it always started with ourselves, because whatever we act out on anyone else is our pain. Doesn't negate that we shouldn't or should not hurt each other, and if they do, we should, you know, take measures to stop that person from continuing to hurt other people. Of course. Love isn't silly. Love is strength. And based on the fact that this person doesn't have enough love to sustain themselves in a society, it's something we all as a group have to pay attention to. But to keep this "I'm Christ and you're Satan and I judged you," and then tell me that I'm talking about duality is a contradiction. But I could not have seen that before. Trying to be religious or not. I'm not trying to be perfect or not. We're just people. Before all those labels and before anyone slaps their opinion on top of you and tells you who you are, that can only work if the thoughts you have are what if and loss of people believing you, loss of whatever, audience, loss of, that's why I'm so happy that money is not attached to my work. Find ways to take care of myself so that I can do this without feeling like I ever have to. I do this because I love doing this. And so the thoughts in my head that took me to believing in myself was time and experience that I gave myself. So if you ever start to feel those fear thoughts, those lost thoughts, I'm going to lose this, I'm going to lose that, ask yourself, what will I look like if I did lose that? Face that fear. Tell you a lot about yourself. And when you hear yourself say, "I don't know who I'd be without my house," or "I don't know who I'd be without that person or that job," it'd still be you with a new experience to come, because you're not going to just sit in a corner for the rest of your life. That's impossible. Even if you tried to do that, you couldn't do it. Those are thoughts coming from strength. From beyond the "I'm going to lose this" answer. But instead, it's "what do I do if this is gone? What do I do if this is different?" Because it's not just that it's different, it's just that it's gone. It's not yours anymore. It's funny, I was asking Christ when the fires were going on, and I wasn't sure where this was all going to land. I said, "Why fires? Why that town in Northern California? I can't even begin to imagine." And in Thousand Oaks, where this one started, they had the shootings, the young boy who decided to shoot the people in a dancing venue that night, the night before. And nobody was even over that yet. And nobody likes what happened, whether it was the fire or the shootings or any other shootings. But every single time we come together, every single time we come out of the woodwork to help each other, that feeling of survival. Because we kind of go at half mast most of the time because we can. So when I ask Christ, "Well, wow, this is a big message of some kind." And he said, "Sometimes life resets itself." I had a lot of time to think about it, a few days. And I did see things resetting. I saw people resetting. I saw people we look at as having everything. And we make fun of them for having money sometimes because, "Oh, well, they have money." their people. And they lost where they sleep. Can't buy that. They lost where they eat, where they meet, where their relatives come over. Because at the end of the day, houses come and go. Jobs come and go. Cars come and go. How many have you had so far? And the one thing that was always there became the forefront of everything, and that was the love. The love of each other. The love of self. Self-care. Dealing with displacement. Dealing with resetting your life. So these thoughts that helped me, because I've learned to believe in myself, and I had to be taught through Christ to believe in myself. Going through the wide range of deciding what's important to take and what isn't, and realizing how little I took. At the end of the day, we all have our challenges. And I have to say, yet again, in life, it's never, ever about the money. On Saturday, in time I've done it, and I'm going to do it again in January, there's a group called ABL, and it's for young kids between 9 and 18 years old on how to plan their futures, how to get in the schools they want to get in, and how to kind of navigate their life. And they had a moderator asking questions, and there were three people on the panel. One was a serial entrepreneur, one was me, and then there was a lady who came from San Salvador who became an endodontist and a business person and tiny tot, but a little whip. I just loved her. And we all, you know, contributed, and it complimented all of us to talk for, you know, with each other. We made a good group. And there were 85 kids, 111 kids tried to get in. But there were only 85 spots. So it will happen again in January 19th. And so I went. And it was, you know, the day after we finally got electricity and that. And I kind of wasn't ready to go. I was still kind of really quiet. But I was so happy I went. Even on the way there, I was getting happy. And I thought, you know I naturally wanted to stay home, because you get this really big, fat cocooning feeling when you go through something that big and then you realize, oh my God, I'm okay. It takes you a couple of days to realize that. And I remember my son saying to me, wow, it feels normal. It feels weird to feel normal again. But I went, and those kids, none of them were affected by the fire, and they were sitting there and talking to each other, and they were all having lunch. And then we went back for the afternoon session, which was when I spoke. And I said to them, you get to be each age for 1 year. Look at your life. How did you represent 10? How did you represent 12? Because they're still young. I said, I'm talking about, how did I represent 55 and 56, and I'll be 57 on my next birthday. And they looked at me like, you're 57. And I was like, oh, thank you guys. But I said, when I have tears, it's not because I'm getting older. It's because I'm so happy that I get to be older. Some of us don't get to be older. They're tears of joy that I can still plan my life and still decide what I want to do. This year that you've lived so far, take a look at, how do I want this year to be represented? What would I like to see come out of this year? And how would I want 20 to look based on what I know now? Granted, it will change, but not usually very much. You'd be surprised how consistent we are, how smart we are, how capable we are. And these aren't just like pump you up talks. These are, we really, really are. And we really show up when we have a challenge. Sometimes we want to hide until we can wrap our minds around the challenge. And that's okay. Give yourself the time to get there. But any thought of fear, of loss, tell yourself, wow, I was taught to feel that. That's not the original me. The original me would be like, hey, I can handle that. You may not want to, but you can. And once you do, build your I can handle that resume. You've got a longer list of things you've handled than things that you didn't. And remind yourself that the stuff that you didn't handle, you probably weren't interested enough to do it. Be honest. Give yourself the realization that your capabilities, when you need them, show up. And that the stuff that isn't in your life is stuff that wasn't important to you for it to be in your life. That alone is so huge that this past week, I mean, I still have flashlights in my, you know, I have a desk hutch above my desk. And two of the slots are filled with flashlights. Because I figured, shoot, if my electricity goes out again, it's really dark in my office, even in the daytime, that I have light. And I could just flip that thing on. I realized I could write all day long on my computer and save it in Word, and I did. Or Pages, whatever it's called on your Mac. I made charts. I created projects. I got things done around the house I never would have done had I not had the time. But it's amazing just knowing, okay, I don't have internet. I gardened. Yesterday I gardened for 6 hours. I couldn't move afterwards, but I felt great. We find something resilient. And now I know what Christ even deeper was talking about when he talks about our capabilities. Doesn't mean we get higher and we get more of this and more of that. It means that we can handle what comes to us without fear. Whatever it is, the minute we think of loss, fear has entered the picture. Spend our lives trying not to lose anything, rather than building what's around us. It's a big difference between loss and building. And all fear is fear of loss. You're going to lose something. If you can look at it and ask yourself what would happen if you lost that, you'd find out you will survive. You guys, I'm so happy to be back. I will see you tomorrow. Have a great Monday. Have a great start of this week, giving on Thursday. So I will see you tomorrow. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.